I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of... This is an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. It's Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, my guest today asks this great question. How would your life be different if you could lose what's weighing you down and be free to live the life you were created for? Wouldn't it be amazing if you could embark on a single program that would help you get both physically and spiritually fit while freeing you to pursue God's dreams and goals for your life? Well, guess who joins me today? Elisa Keaton joins me. I've had her on the show a number of times in the past. We're going to talk about her 8-week journey workbook, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. We have got 6 workbooks to give away. Count them, 6. It's an amazing book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing if you'd like, 877-933-2484. And we welcome your questions, anything to do with exercise, health, fitness, fasting, wellness, wholeness, spiritual health and fitness. Any questions, we welcome them. We're going to try to get to as many as possible. You text those in a separate text, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement before we hear from Elisa. If you've ever wanted to write a book, if you've ever had a dream of being a published author, you've got to join us for our upcoming Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. I think this is year 5 for us. This year, it's on July 16th and 17th, and I believe tickets are on sale right now. That's why I'm talking about it. But we've moved the conference to kind of a hybrid option. We will do an in-person conference, but we will likely have limited space. I don't know if I have like a couple hundred tickets available, and I think those will go fast. It's always, to me, so much better in person. But once those tickets go, we'll be offering an online option. Actually, you could just opt for the online option, but you'll find all that information on the web at NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. I know of people who got their book contracts through this conference. So they came, they took the advice of an editor or an agent, and then they got a book contract. It's so powerful to step out and lay hold of your dreams. If that's something that God has put on your heart, do join us. It's always a great conference. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Elisa Keaton is a wholehearted pursuer of God's love. As a more than 27-year fitness professional, Elisa felt God leading her to bring fresh meaning to the world of health and fitness. So in 2011, she launched Revelation Wellness. This is a nonprofit ministry using fitness as a tool to spread the gospel message. Isn't that a great idea? Inviting participants to become whole and live well through various online events and in-person retreats. The Revelation Wellness Instructor Training Program equips and sends out fitness missionaries through the U.S. and around the world, while the RevWell TV brings faith-based, at-home, online workouts and resources to anyone with access to the internet. Elisa lives in Phoenix with her husband, Simon, and their 2 children, Jack and Sophia. As a family, they are on mission to change the world with the kind and the courageous love of God. I love this girl. Elisa, welcome back to the show.
Susie, thank you so much. I'm just grinning ear to ear just to hear you talk and say that story and my 2 kids' names. I mean, you can light me up any day just hearing
that. There you go. Thanks. I follow you on Instagram, and you inspire me so often. I see these short little videos, and I put my phone down, and I go on and do some jumping squats or whatever it is you're doing for the day. But you always make me smile. I love it. But we love to start talking scripture, and I'm wondering if there's a passage that you're thinking about or just a specific way the Lord's been speaking to you these days.
Yes, Isaiah 58:12 right now, the Lord's just got me on and stuck on with when he says, Isaiah says, "And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." That repairing of the breach and the restoring of streets to dwell in. I think when I read that, I think that if ever a time we need some repairing of breached things and streets to be filled again with people and activity and life that would bring, you know, heaven here on earth, I just get hungry for that. So I'm kind of stuck on that right now.
Yeah. And he is a redeemer and restorer. There have been pandemics in the past, and people wondered if they would end. There have been civil unrest in the past, and people wondered, will our people ever come together. We will get through this, won't we?
Yeah, not only will we get through it, but I don't know about you, Susie. I just believe the Lord is going to do something so beautiful on the backside. And I think
too.
His people are being refined. We're being refined in this right now. And I'm here for that.
Yeah, me too. Wow. Well, give us a little inspiration behind Revelation Wellness, if you would.
Yeah, Revelation Wellness is exactly what you said. You know, it's here to give a bigger story, context to the thought and idea of what to do with our bodies. You know, the world is telling us all the time, visually now more than ever, about what our bodies should be or what they're for. We're sold a lot of information media-wise, and this constant ever and never-ending pursuit of a, quote, better body. And I feel like the Lord says, hey, let's start with what is good. Matthew 6:33 is that we seek first God and his kingdom and all these things in his righteousness, and all these things are added to us. And I just go, well, if we could start with God made our bodies good, that if we could pull and unplug from the cycle of obsessing and neglecting about our bodies, because that was the two things I saw happen as a fitness professional. Still to this day, we fall into these pits of obsessing our body. We can take a good thing, which is to get, you know, get healthy, and it can either become our God thing, where we now that I'm healthy, I have to keep it and I have to maintain it, or we can also feel very disappointed and disheartened when we lose it. If we can't gain the weight or something happens, we just put so much importance on it. And I think the Lord says, hey, yes, I gave you a body. And isn't it crazy, Susie, to think Jesus put on a body? He didn't have to do that. The Lord could have been God and come and, you know, said his words and commanded it as he was through his prophets, or just spoke from a, you know, the voice from heaven or whatever he wanted to do, but he put on flesh and dwelt among us. And Revelation Wellness is here to say, I think that there's something greater. There's something bigger and better than just food or fitness to deal with. That the Lord wants to meet us in our bodies, to that we would be people embodying the hope and faith and love of God here on earth. So we're not a ministry about let's help people, you know, lose the weight. And I get it. We meet people where they're at, because there are people who would like to feel better, and weight loss would be a part of that equation of feeling better. But we also want to meet people and say, we've got to change our focus. We have to change our why, get a greater why for what we're doing, and also break up with the ideas that the world has sold us about what we should be doing. And that's what Revelation Wellness says, is we reframe fitness, health, wholeness, everything having to do with your body in light of the gospel, because the body embodies the hope and faith of God here on earth.
Somebody's got to text me an amen. You know, it's been a while since I've asked for an amen. Now I need an amen. That's so fantastic. And, you know, folks who've listened long enough, they know, you know, I was in the fitness industry, as you know, for almost 15 years. And
I know. That's why I love you so much. You're so my heart. Get it.
Yeah. And when I was studying for that national certification, all it did was make me fall in love more with Jesus, because the more I learned how intricately designed we are, the more I just loved God, going, he's a God of detail. He pays such attention. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And to be able to say how well my soul knows it, you know, but one thing I saw, and I'm sure I've been out, you know, I retired, I don't know, 15 years ago, whatever, but a long time. But one thing I noticed then, and I'm sure you notice now, is the two extreme camps among Christians. Some, you know, get into the fitness thing and make it an idol, and really an idol, and get a lot of pride around it because they buy into, as you were saying, the world's mindset of why we do that and what that's supposed to look like. But then others let the pendulum swing the other way and go, I'm not going to have that idol in my tent. But there's other idols that spring up as a result of neglecting that, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe strike a balance for us, if you would.
Yeah. Well, the balance is Christ, like God knowing us. And as he said, fearfully and wonderfully made. The body is not about, it's not about how many, you know, a six pack, 8 pack abs. And it's true, you know, the camp that wants that perfect body, could say, well, I'm doing this and the body is my temple. And yeah, that's true, but it's the place where worship happens, not the place of worship. You don't worship the body. It's where worship happens. And then for those who say, well, God you know, God doesn't look at my body. He's just looking at my heart. I would say yes and amen to that. But how are you feeling? And really, Jesus tells us it's not what goes in us that makes us unclean. It's what's coming out of us. So if out of me comes anger, bitterness, callousness, I talk of myself poorly, I tell myself I'm old, I'm fat, I'm ugly, that's a condition of my heart that God wants to rend. Because it's true, our bodies are failing us. Our bodies are not going to, they are going to perish. So we've got to come to a real understanding of letting things go, being able to surrender it, knowing that the body is not the point of the worship. It's not what we're worshiping. It's where worship occurs, so that we can just be about our Father's business. The body is what is how the love makes itself out into the world, right? Without my body, you're hearing my voice right now. My vocal cords are connecting, and I'm contracting them, and I'm using my diaphragm, my air to breathe. And let's be true, there are people in a hospital bed right now who cannot get the words out that I am saying because their bodies don't have that ability. So everything is about this ability to love God. And that's the Mark 12:28-32, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Strength is about your ability. We all have an ability to us. What are we doing with our ability of our body? Are we enabling our idolatry? Are we giving ourselves over to our flesh? Or are we worshiping God, saying, God, I'm fit, I'm ready, my ears are open, my eyes are here to see clearly. I want to be about my Father's business. That's balance. Be about God's business. You don't have to worry about obsessing or neglecting.
Well, we're going to pause here. You know, I've heard from people who've maybe gone through sexual trauma as a child, and now they're 100 pounds overweight, and they would admit as they go through the healing process, they're self-protecting. Then you've got the person on the other end of the spectrum who's obsessed with a perfect body because they had all kinds of rejection when they were young.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this ministry is it's going, I'm going to go past those outer symptoms and go to the core of the heart. We want to see you whole and healed. And every month we have two different doctors, twice a month we have doctors on the show to talk about the healing process. And the reason, friends, as we're going out to break here, the reason we do that, I hope you know this, I say it all the time, is God wants you whole. He wants you well. He wants you to show up in life in the best way possible so that you can flourish in all that God's called you to do. Talking to Elisa Keaton today, her book, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. We've got 6 workbooks to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you got questions, send those in a separate text. We'll be back in a minute.
This is a new day. Everything burns day with hope.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Live. Woo! Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. Here's just one easy, healthy tip. Put a song like that on every day, no matter how you feel. Put on an upbeat praise and worship song and bop around for a few minutes. Just move a little bit. A little bit of movement makes a big difference. We're talking about health, wholeness. We're going to talk about fasting. We're going to talk about gluttony. We're going to talk about obsession with body image and how to break free so that you can walk free. And just healthy habits for fitness, exercise. If you have any kinds of questions about like stretching, cardio, anything like that, or just about how to become spiritually healthier, we want to hear from you. You can text your questions, comments to 877-933-2484. I'm talking to my friend Elisa Keaton. She's the founder of the ministry, the organization, as well as author of this eight-week journey workbook, The Wellness Revelation, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. So Elisa, my boys are grown now, but I remember when my boys were teenagers, and my mentor said something so interesting. She said, Susie, yes, discipline and consistency still matter at this stage, but what will speak to them even more powerfully than consequences is vision. Give them a vision for their lives, and they will impose boundaries on themselves that are better than anything you can come up with on your own. I think that's a powerful insight, and I would love for you just to take a moment and talk about the power of vision when it comes to our own health and wholeness.
Wow, that is so exciting that you talked about that. I'm actually working on my next book right now, and I feel like learning so much more now about what we think about. We definitely manifest. We bring that to being in vision. I mean, the Bible says without vision, people perish. So what a powerful thing that if we can get a vision for our life, what would health look like? That's one of the first things I do with a lot of clients, people that I work with one-on-one, or even when I start some instructor training, I ask them, what would your life look like if you take fear off the table, you take shame off the table, you take everything off the table that has maybe impeded your thoughts of having an immeasurably more kind of life? What would it look like? What does vision look like? And we actually know now with all the neuroscience that's coming in that there is benefit when we visualize what we want to see happen. And there's actually football players, basketball players, pianists. They did a study with pianists where they would actually practice the piano. And it, like one group would practice 4 days a week. The other would 2 days a week practice on the piano. The other 2 days, they would just visualize. They would spend 30 minutes seeing themselves playing the piano. And the people that did the 2-2 split did better overall than those who practice every day and kind of went through the steps. It's because they had to equip neurons in their brain that would not maybe come to pass if you're just kind of going through the day-to-day, oh, I'm practicing now. And there's a part of us that was created for vision. We're created to live beyond where we are right now. So yeah, when we speak vision to people, what would health look like for you? I would ask that question to people listening. Could you take a minute with the Lord? And that's hard for people. Just quiet down and get a vision for what would health be to me? And you got to get real honest. Does six-pack abs come to the surface? Notice it. And then if it's kind of go, is that going to last though, right? Like, is that eternal? Because these are the things. Paul tells us that physical training is of some value, but godliness, that's going to last forever. So, yeah, six-pack abs. Listen, I'm almost 50 years old. I had them. They're fading away. but my mental fitness, my ability to think in line with the kingdom, that's eternal. My faith, my hope, my love, my speaking life over my children, you're living for a legacy to leave them, a vision that they can step into. Those kind of things matter. That's what our body is for. And things can get in the way. Yes, foods we choose, the environment we're participating in, it affects us. And so we don't have to be afraid, but we have to be wise. So having a vision, man, I just think that's something to come back to time and time again. And you're right. God will build around that vision and also help you chase out the things that aren't supposed to be there. Like, okay, 8 6-pack abs, okay, but again, how long can those last and at what cost? Everything has to be weighed in terms of counting a cost for, is this building material for my vision going to be worth it, or is this something that's just temporary and fleeting?
God's will for you in one area of your life won't contradict his will for you in another area. And that's the thing, is when you make an idol out of anything, it costs everybody around you. So whether idol is food, and there's gluttony, we'll talk about that in just a minute, or the idol is a perfect body for the wrong reasons and not flourishing health. And we're talking about flourishing health. And because this is a highly interactive show, I'm going to ask my friends, I always tell them that when they text me, it's kind of one of my love languages. In fact, I'm going to call Dr. Gary Chapman and say, add this to the book. Texting during the show is a love language. But I want you to text me, friends. And I want you to tell me, what would a healthier, healed you look like a year from now? Picture it. I'd love to know. And I'll go first. You know, I have so much trouble with sleeping for Lyme disease reasons and other things, but I'm working on it. I'm not letting go till I get it to be my norm. But so a healthier, healed me a year from now would be someone who sleeps as a norm every night, and that the neurological symptoms would be gone. And then I'd probably go too heavy on cardio and not enough on strength. And so a balance of better strength work. So that's kind of, you know, more redeemed perspective of my story and my life, because there's just been hard stuff. And sometimes I'm marked by that. So how about you, Alisa? What would a healthier, healed you look like a year from now?
That's so great. I love, first of all, I'll jump on that sleep thing. I'm a big proponent of that our day starts the night before. How good our days are definitely begins the night before. And if rest isn't there, our work will, it'll be harder. It's not to say there isn't a grace for it, but the Lord knows. You know, the scripture says he gives his beloved sleep. He also yes. knows whatever season we're in, there is grace for each day. But when we make it our best effort to say, I'm going to, you know, do the things that, that foster good sleep in my life. And as we get older, it just sleep, you know, our REM sleep, deep sleep decreases by about 50%. We start to lose that. So we have to be real vigilant the older we get about this state of rest. So I concur with that. I've definitely have been doing a lot of study, a little bit more into sleep and really wanting that deep rest, really with the Lord. I feel rested mm-hmm. with him and can wake with ideas and feel refreshed. I would say the other part of me being a healthy, the healthiest version of me is to continue to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I'm an excited girl. I have vision. I have vision for days. I have ideas for days. I always tell people, don't tell me your dream or your prayer unless you want me to keep you accountable to it. Because I just go, yes, of course. If that's in line with God's will, of course that can be done. But I need to learn how to pace and slow down, position my body in more rest, restorative, stretching, slowing down. I'm doing it more just kind of naturally, but I can tell there's a big transition that needs to happen for me of not going so hard. I don't feel like I have to do hard things. I think I came out of that because I'm more in the obsessor part of my body. I used my story of my childhood to try and escape it by having the perfect body that would give me the accolades and give me people's approval. And I was told at a young age that I would be really good at bodybuilding. And so I went into it, not because I had interest in it, but because someone told me I would be good at it. So I'm good at being hard on my body and hard on myself. So I'm in a state of like, I want to learn a whole new side of me, and it's happening. It's just a slow day-by-day pursuit of a more healthy and whole me, and that equips my body so I'm not burnt mm-hmm. out and in sickness and disease.
I love that. See, it's such a powerful, nourishing conversation. I love this listener. She said, I would have better morning and evening routines. I would turn off electronics at least 2 hours before bedtime so that I sleep better. I would not live in anxiety and fear, and my house would be decluttered. I'm going to give I'm going to give Elisa your phone number, and she's going to call you.
I'm going to call her. What is her name? Yes, that's right. I'll write that down.
But these things are absolutely possible. And I mean, and all these changes happen in an accumulative way. You start to make these choices now, and you get to be benefit from the accumulative effect. We're going to pausing for break here. One more. Janet says, I am healed from 2 incurable diseases. I'm able to help others. I'm stronger. I can bike and dance without pain. No longer have fear. And I sleep well. Oh, sorry. I just read the rest of your text, friend. But we pray healing for you, dear one. And talking to Elisa Keaton and talking about wholeness, wellness. If you've got questions, send them in. We've got 6 copies of her phenomenal workbook. It's an 8-week journey to really find wholeness, wellness, and health. Text BOOK to 877-933-2484. Back in a minute.
We are made in the image of...
This is an encore presentation of Suzy Larson Live.
Beautiful shades of love.
Can you believe that? Can you put your hand on your heart? I don't care if you're a dude or a girl. Can you put your hand in your heart and say, I am fearfully, wonderfully made. My soul knows it very well. I want you to know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made because you're made in the image of God. And I always say every step towards healing and wholeness matters, every single step. And every single one of us has a tweak we can make, an adjustment we can make that can move us closer to health and wholeness. And my question before the break was this. I would love for you to text in. Your answers always just move me deeply. What would a healthier, healed you look like a year from now? Maybe it's spiritually you're more healthy. Maybe it's physically. What would that look like? Describe it. My friend Elisa Keaton joins me today. She's the founder of the Wellness Revelation, and that's an organization that you've got to check out. In fact, I know I ran into an old pastor and wife couple that I knew from years ago. I ran into him in the parking lot before COVID, but she said, you know Elisa Keaton, right? And I said, yeah. She goes, I just got certified as an instructor. And I never, and she's just, you know, she doesn't come across to me as like an athletic type. And I was, I loved that. I loved that because she's it's like, so I want to help people get healed and healthy. And I'm like, okay, yes. I'm completely inspired. But I just want to pitch you your book, The Wellness Revolution, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. It's an 8-week journey, kind of book slash workbook. We've got 6 copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And you said in this workbook, desperation and disgust are powerful motivators for change, but they do not lead to lasting results and increasing joy. I mean, sometimes when we're pummeling ourselves, we'll get results in the short run, but they're not sustainable. Say more.
Amen, man. Just the Lord does not use shame to teach us. He does not use shame to transform us. It's in 1 John 4:18 that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So a body that is built, if anyone, you're listing those things of having a vision for what your health would be like, I am telling you, shame, fear, those things based on a critical spirit, those have nothing to build your, those cannot build the house. Those actually will probably show up from time to time, but it's those things that actually are building a house on sand. Those will fall through because that's not who God is. Because as you just did, I love you, put your hand on your heart, fearfully and wonderfully made. And so we have a hard time reconciling that in our brain because of the messages we've received and the pain we have lived through in our bodies. I want to highlight that for people who have felt stuck. You just go, I know what to do, but I can't seem to do it. And then I think sometimes there's this Christian shame because don't you know your body's the temple? You should be doing this. And there, I just say to myself, if they could, they would. There's something that's getting in the way. And I feel that's where the healing needs to happen. Susie, your books are amazing. I'm just going to say, go get Susie's books. I'm fully alive. I'm really going after those rocks, those things that are stuck in us that get in the way of a healthy thought life. Because as our brains think, as our minds are, so our body will be. The body is talking to the mind, and the mind is talking to the body. So, the fear, disgust, talking of yourself critically, they might get you going, but that's not the voice of God, and it doesn't sustain. Going back to eternal, God wants to have a relationship with you about your body, in your body. And it's a relationship that's based on his voice, his promptings. He cares about what you eat. He's there to, if you want to make a choice, invite him into everything, right, Susie? Invite him into everything. Yes. Mm-hmm. He has a voice and he wants to speak with you on it. And it's not one of shame or disgust at all.
Awesome. You know, I'm thinking mind, body, and spirit. If you want to make it, you know, it's not simple. I mean, it's not easy. I think it is in some ways, there's some very easy basics to apply, but mind, uproot one lie. You know, look at one tape you've got on repeat that you know diminishes you, puts you in the ditch every time, and put a stop to it. You know, body, we're going to talk body here for a minute, and we've talked a little bit about spirit, but what would you say to the person who really doesn't know where to start? They love God, but they've really maybe neglected their physical health. They eat junk, and they don't exercise, and they don't feel well. Where would they start?
Yeah, and that's real. So your body is definitely talking, and it, when you feel the pain and it feels heavy, it's hard to breathe, you take a flight of stairs. I mean, the last thing someone in pain wants to do or feeling unwell is to, we think about getting well, but the challenge, the hurdle in your brain that says it's going to be too hard or too painful, that's real. First thing is invite you to say, that it's possible. I know a story of a woman who lost, she was about over 375 pounds. First thing she could do is stand up on her feet for 5 minutes and rock side to side. And just doing rocking, not walking, don't hear me, because some people are like, oh, it hurts to walk. Just stood on her feet and rocked side to side, rocked, swayed. First of all, there's something really powerful to that because there's bilateral stimulation in the brain of just kind of rocking side to side. And it was winding for her and her body. But it began something. And just, I would encourage, please go listen to our podcast where you're listening to God's word being spoken over you as you just do something to get into your body. It will feel uncomfortable, but I'm here to tell you that's how change happens. Neuroplasticity, the ability to change your brain, which then will help you get renew, you know, have a better relationship with your body, it requires that agitation. You can't get around it. You have to embrace the agitation, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, walking to the mailbox to get your mail every night, and letting that be just enough, right? Offering your body as a living sacrifice. Start in the small places. But I would say the first thing for anyone that wants to, you know, it's posturing yourself in your body as if, okay, we've got the strength to do this much. Start small. Walk, even if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, and fill your mind with God's truth. Listen, don't scroll on your phone. Don't try to not be in your body. The point is to get in your body, find your breath, feel what is there and maybe what's not there. But coming back to yourself in your body is really the place where you and God meet. So that would be a really just gentle place to start. Just tiny little steps in that right direction.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, those just deep cleansing breaths and paying attention. Where do I carry stress in my body? What comes to mind when I push it? You know, and I have a Nordic track cycle, like a Peloton bike, and there's one instructor, and she said, you want to always live in the tension of safety and growth, because she said we have this propensity to go towards self-protection, but drivers and strivers want to push towards growth too much, too fast. But to live in the tension of, I'm going to pay attention to my body, I'm going to push a little further. And I just think that has been such a powerful thing for anybody. Acknowledge what you can do, and then, you know, within reason, do a little more than you feel like you can do, right?
Right. Isn't that the definition of giving, like even tithing? Don't give what's just comfortable. Give just little more. Then we see the blessing. Now I'm giving and living in faith.
Yeah. So maybe you're someone who does walk on the treadmill. Maybe add a little incline for 5 minutes of your walk, you know, but try to find your space and then do a little bit more. This dear person I want you to pray for says, I don't think I can even see what my life would be like without fear and anxiety, or to be healthy. I can't picture it. Fear and anxiety rule my life and have for too many years. My health is constantly declining and I'm only 53. I am a type 2 diabetic, so that disease would be gone. I guess I'd be able to sleep at night. I'd feel alive and be able to do things. I would not be an emotional eater, and I would feel joy and happiness. I'd hopefully stop being a perfectionist and have peace and enjoy life once again. My thoughts would be positive. I feel defeated in every aspect. Oh, I want to hug you so much and wonder if you have any exhortation for this dear listener, then when you're ready to pray for them.
Yeah, well, I want to first, I mean, I'm sure she knows the scriptures, but I'm just going to speak it over her about be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and petition, right? Prayer and petition, it was just keep going again. Anxiety and fear, those are real. I mean, everyone also acknowledge you're not broken. Your mind is not making these things up. There's a reason that you've lived in a chronic state of anxiety and fear. I would probably say something in childhood happened, wired your brain to go that pathway. It's been ingrained in you as a pathway, but here's what I know, dear friend. It can go in a new direction. It absolutely can. You are not too far gone. But as we were just saying, it will be so uncomfortable. You have to almost get outside of yourself, say, darn it, I'm going for a walk. Because P.S., one pill, a Prozac that you could take, or something that someone would take for either to calm themselves in anxiety or to lift their spirits in depression, we know that a bout of exercise produces the same and more chemicals of neurotransmitters that help you to think out and get out of that thought process of anxiety and depression. So exercise is one of the first things that a doctor would say, and just our bodies are wired for it. It's going to feel uncomfortable, and I want to acknowledge that, but I think this is where we don't live by our feelings. We do have to live according to our faith, and faith is step out of the boat, come walk on the water, see Christ before you. I would encourage her to do that, literally sit down. Again, my podcast, the Revelation Moms podcast, we actually exercise with you, go for walks with you, meditate with you about your body and in relationship to God. So if you feel like you're living inside a prison of a body right now, yes, get the book. Go listen to the podcast. There is resource, right? There is resource and there's recourse for us. There are resources for you. Reach out and grab onto them. But the recourse is you must think in line with a new direction, even if you don't feel it, friend. Even if you've always felt, I'm always anxious. I can't even think of my life another way. Well, don't worry about it. Don't stop thinking about it. Stop thinking about that. You can't even think about it. Go move your body. Just go do something that is an act of faith, a prophetic act of we're going in a new direction. And if Christ is the goal, if you have your eyes set on him, I promise you, each day you just get your eyes set on him for that 5-minute walk, whatever you're going to do, and the benefits that come from thinking new will compound and turn in a profit for sure.
Amen, amen. And, you know, you can recover from type 2 diabetes. You can recover from these things. And she also says she has severe childhood trauma. So get to counseling. I mean, love your life enough to start to go after this stuff. I love the idea of listening to Lisa's podcast and going for a walk with her, even if you're walking slow. Yeah. And even if that walk is only 5 minutes. And Dr. Troy, he's our functional med doc who comes on once a month. And he had a man that came in, was a farmer, and he had a back injury. And Dr. Troy, the guy's wife was there, and he said, can you see yourself walking again? He said, I can't. And so when he sent the husband out to the waiting room and said to the wife, find a farmer neighbor who can fit in his pants and film him from the waist down walking in your farm fields. And I want you to play that loop over and over again for your husband. And he said to the guy, he said, come back and see me now when you can visualize it. And he watched it and watched it and watched it. And he said, I'm ready, doc. And after treatments, that guy walked out of that office. And I just
think they're fantastic.
Yeah. And there's scientific proof, really. There's something about that. I mean, and we have faith. I mean, these are scientists apart from faith who are saying something happens neurologically.
That's right.
When you picture a victory, well, then you add faith to it and you have the idea that God is so for you. Come on is right. So I want you to get a vision for it. I let this be day one where you're putting a flag in the ground and know as it is with the rest of us, it's baby steps. It's sometimes 2 steps forward, 3 steps back. But every step towards healing matters. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we've got a couple more texts to tackle. One, this dear soul said she grew up in fear, and a lot of that came from father and alcoholism. We'll tackle that one as well. Talking to Elisa Keaton, I want to get her back next month because I feel like we're just scratching the surface. We want to respond to your texts, and maybe next month we'll talk obesity, gluttony, fasting, all those things, again, with no condemnation. This is all about the invitation to be much with God. Talking to Elisa Keaton, her book, The Wellness Revelation, and her ministry, is it Revelation Wellness? It is, right? I got it backwards last time. Anyway, her workbook, Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. We've got 6 copies of this 8-week journey workbook to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484 and tell me what a healthier, healed you might look like. Can you picture it down the road? What might that look like? What might improve in your health? What might improve in your spiritual life? I want to know. Text me, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Law. Sorry, singing, I'm dancing, I'll admit it. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. That's your assignment. You need to dance every day, even if it's a little. Put on a little bit of happy music and make yourself move. Talking to my friend Elisa Keaton about her workbook, The Wellness Revelation. She's the founder of Revelation Wellness. It's an amazing organization. Check it out. This workbook, it's an 8-week journey to pursue wholeness, healing. Subtitle is Lose What Weighs You Down So You Can Love God, Yourself, and Others. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. Also, in a separate text, tell me what a healthier, healed you might look like. And oh my goodness, Elisa, this one, I want to jump up and down. She inspires me so much. She says, I grew up in fear. This came a lot from my father and his alcoholism. And now I can see it as he probably had PTSD. Fear was a bad best friend. But like Susie talks about many times, as you learn the neural pathways of truth that God loves us and of hope, letting go of things, etc. Oops, it just jumped. Hold on here a second. I began to change. It was a fight. It still is a fight, but I can't say that I'm not afraid like I used to be. I don't walk in fear like I used to. I never thought I'd ever be here. I remember one time being so down because of it that the only joy that came is that I would, hang on here, it's jumping. I wouldn't have it forever, but in heaven, I wouldn't have that feeling. But I'm grateful to say it came a lot sooner. Listen to this friend. She says, you are worth the fight. She says, I have chronic pain too, and I've learned to move and take very little medication because I am learning to expect that I'm strong. And so I take one step at a time. This makes me
wow.
cry. So I take
Come
one
on.
Step at a time. This is what the fight looks like right there, you know? Wow.
That's so good. I love how she said, and she said, friend, something, I am learning to expect that she's already taking a withdrawal on her faith.
Yes.
In like her safety deposit box in heaven, she's healthy. So she just takes a withdrawal on that. I'm expecting that I can demand on that something today. And it does come down to, what are we thinking? Who are we worshiping? Who are we devoting ourselves to? What's our body for? Let's remember it is going to perish. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, that outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So although this jar of clay is drying up and cracking a little bit more each year, there is a glory to be bestowed upon it every day. And her story, that testimony, yes and amen. What a glory.
Come on. Amen. Peggy wants to know, what's a healthy exercise to lower high blood pressure? What food is good for that also? Thank you so much. Really enjoying the program. What do you say?
That's awesome. Well, as far as blood pressure, it's kind of the answer. There's a little bit in the blood. So your blood is high because there's constriction of some kind. So just if you're not doing any exercise at all, I would say first thing is start to go for a walk, a 20, 30-minute walk, 4-6 times a week. So we just get the blood flowing. And if I could encourage you when you walk, I encourage this to everyone, when you walk, when you run, when you hike, whatever you're doing, lifting weights, breathe, take in some air through the nose. You know, we are chronically mouth breathers, Susie. We breathe primarily through the mouth to kind of just get air into our head, where when we breathe through the nose, we filter, and we also have to expand our rib cage a little more. We get bigger breath, and breath has two part. One, spiritually, we know that God breathed the breath of life into us through our nose. By the way, it says in the garden, God into our nostrils, he breathed. Mm. And so the spirit it's a tangible way of saying God is with me. When I breathe, I am like, I'm calling on, I'm withdrawing on heaven to go, I want more of the spirit in me. If I'm being shallow and fearful and afraid, I'm going to breathe smaller. I'm going to breathe through my mouth and stay tight and closed in my chest. So go for a walk, breathe, and also take in your landscape a little bit. Notice when you can just notice around you what's going on, because sometimes high blood pressure, well, often it's stress related. So being able to just realize, hey, the world is bigger than me. I'm okay. I'm safe. Look how beautiful the trees are. Be an observer when you move your body. That will help your anxiety or stress phase come down some, and you operate more in your parasympathetic nervous system, which is this rest and digest part of you. And I would also say, do your best to realize food is playing a role for sure. Food is either causing our blood to coagulate and get kind of thicker, or it's helping it to flow and stay on that thinner side, where the difference being, if your blood is thick because of foods we eat, like processed foods, sugars, inflammatory foods, it's kind of the difference between your blood having to move, like if you're trying to drink a milkshake through a straw or water through a straw. Which one do we want to move faster and better? It's you want that viscosity of a light fluid in your blood, and that comes from what we eat, how we exercise, and what we eat just absolutely affects the viscosity of our blood. So if you want your blood pressure to come down, you have to actually engage the flow of blood and consider the things you're eating that are going to lower that viscosity and thickness of the blood. So lower sugars, less processed foods. Clearly, you know, we always fall back on, I think God's we know, I think, what to eat in terms of fruits and vegetables, the things that spoil pretty easily and sometimes can be more costly, but foods are actually getting more available. If you have an Aldi near you, there's some food places that, you know, you can get like dented food and vegetables, because it can be more expensive to eat healthy. But the good news is you don't have to eat as much. When you're eating well, you don't need as much of it, because it does have fiber. It fills you up. And we really have just made an idol out of food. The other night I was watching TV and I'm like, oh my gosh, food should be offended for what we've done to it. Food should be mad at us for how we have violated it. Like, food should never have cheese with a crust with now a taco chalupa. Like, what have we done to food? Can we have some lettuce and some tomatoes back without all the frills, bells, and whistles? But
so
again, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, so what I hear you saying is managing stress, you know, deep breathing, some stress-relieving exercises. Take a look at your diet and get some movement. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I cover this question because I think it's super important. Mm-hmm. This dear listener says, can you talk a bit about self-love and caring for yourself? I get confused because I want to speak nicer to myself, but I also don't think we're supposed to love ourselves. And I don't think we're supposed to necessarily love ourselves. And, you know, we are, as according to Scripture, I'm just going to write back that we're to agape love ourselves, actually. Love the Lord, your God, your neighbor, as you love yourself. All of those are agape love. So that's one we should dig into someday. But I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, wow. It is such a weird one, isn't it, for us? I mean, this goes way back. If you put most children over the age of five, if you start to say really nice things about them, they will bashfully kind of fold in. They feel it's harder as we get older. When they're little, they'll tell themselves how great they are. How great, I'm amazing, you know. They're very uninhibited that way. So as we get older, we just start to think more in line with being critical and harder on ourselves. I think there's something so beautiful, as you said, this agape love, the way we love God, we are called to also love ourselves. Why? Because we're created in his image. Elisa Keaton, I bear God in a way that only I can bear God. No one in the history of time, before, present, future, past, is me. And there's something that he wants me to know that's uniquely, fearfully, wonderfully made about me, so that my voice can come out, so that I can make much of my Father. It isn't about me. I guess the question, as always, comes down to, is your heart to glorify the Lord? Then don't worry. Like, we get so worried about, well, what if it becomes about me? What if I'll be selfish? What if you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, you don't have to worry about being selfish, because you'll be so tied up with him. You'll be so enthralled with him that you won't have to worry about turning into a prideful, self-centered something or another. So I think we get that really wrong a little bit in the church, where we're so concerned. But that would be a love based on fear.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of it this way, you can't impart what you don't possess. So to the extent that you know his love is a love that flows through you, and the stuff that gunks us up so often. And I'm not saying this is the case with this listener, but I do think it can play in as a false humility, where a self-deprecation that people think is humility, but it's not. Humility is harnessed strength. It's like, I know who I am. I just don't need you to know who I am, you know, where we really walk in a humble confidence because we know who we are, but we don't have to insert and exert ourselves. I pray every one of us could grow in our capacity. And I quote this all the time, but in Ephesians, it says to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. So let that be your goals, to live out of the love of God. We just got a minute left. Is there anything else on your heart? We've got to get you back. I didn't even touch my notes, Elisa, because of these wonderful texts that came in. So, but anything else you want to just exhort people in as they move forward in faith towards wholeness and health, pardon me.
Yeah, well, I'll go back to where I started with this scripture that just kind of just keeps resonating over me, is that the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the street, you know, repairing the breach, I often think of the breach are these walls, these places, your body, that's where you literally end, right? Your physical existence ends with where your skin ends. And I know for many of you, there's been some damage done. You've been violated. You've used your body in improper ways, or your body's been used in improper ways. And I think we're trying to figuring that out in the church. So just know that your body can repair, and you can enter into this conversation with the Lord about this repairing and healing, literally marks, scares, scars on your body that have left an emotional imprint.
Elisa, this has been awesome. We got to end here. We'll meet you back here next time.
All right. Thank you, Susie.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.